Good luck, one and all. Today's daf is daf Samech in Menachos.
And we're going to make it.
Yeah, I think so. We are we're more than halfway done with the Masechta. The Masechta is 110 block. Is that about right?
Yeah, 110.
Okay. It's about right. So we're more than halfway done. Just count down to the days to Shavuos. We'll count. It's about the same account, right? 50. Okay. After Shavuos is the Siyum of Menachos. All right. We're at Nuntes Amud Beis. Is that accurate also? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's accurate. Okay, we started the Mishnah yesterday on Nuntes Amud Beis. We're going to go back up. We're going to just quickly reread the Mishnah. I told you over the next couple of days, as we finish the fifth parak of Menachos, that's what one of our goals for this week, is to finish the fifth parak. So a lot of the basic to-dos and not to-dos regarding a mincha are going to be discussed over the next couple of days. So it's going to be a very hands-on discussion in terms of... hands-on. I'm not going to bring a mincha in here. I told you Rabbi Kornfeld on his website actually makes a mincha. So if you want to... I don't know, you're bored, yeah. You don't have to be bored to listen to Rabbi Kornfeld, but you want something to do, go to his website and you can watch him actually make a mincha. And he does kmitza also. So no, I don't think so. But he's a major talmid chacham.
And it's not in the basement English.
And he's outside, but it's, you know, just for educational purposes. The Mishnah, let's go back to the Mishnah on the Testament Beis, V'chayev al Hashem b'fnei atzma, V'chayev al Levon b'fnei atzma. As we discussed yesterday on Shabbos, there are menachos that you cannot put in oil, and Levon and frankincense simply cannot put in. So the Mishnah points out that there are two separate Yisurim. There's going to be his chayvus. You'll have one liability for putting in oil and the second liability for putting in frankincense. Now what if you put in oil? So you disqualify the mincha. That's it. It's done. It's the end of the discussion. As we pointed out yesterday on Shabbos, the reason why is simply because once you pour oil in, we're talking about a minchas chote. We're talking about the mincha that does not need oil. Once you put the oil in, the oil absorbs into the mincha, and that's it, and you can't get it out. It's just unfixable. So you'll katenu, but if you put in the lavona, the frankincense is kind of just granules that lay on the top, and you could just scrape it right off, and it's not the end of the world. You violate an isser if you did a bemezid, but it's not the end of the world. It's fixable. Nasan shemen al shirayim over below sase. How about putting oil on the shirayim? Right, you want to add a little bit of oil to your pita, right? When you're eating your shirayim. So the ain over below sase, you didn't violate a lav. I don't know. It sounds from the Mishnah that you still can't do it, but you didn't violate a lav. Nasan kli agabe kli lo pasla. I described this also yesterday on Shabbos. Kli agabe kli, meaning the Torah's terminology is lo yasim aleha. Don't place on it. So you could have read the pasuk. I mean, it's really a literal way of reading it, but you could have read the pasuk that you can't put oil over it, even if you're not pouring the oil in it, but you're simply putting a jug of oil directly over the mincha. You could have said that, but the Mishnah says that's not the way to read the pasuk, and you didn't disqualify it by doing that. Again, just a simple reading of the Mishnah. It sounds like you shouldn't do it, but you certainly didn't disqualify the Mishnah. Tanur Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara. The Gemara presents itself a brisa. Lo yasim alah shaman v'im sam pasal. Don't put oil on, and if you did, you disqualified. Lo yiten alah lavona v'im nasan pasal. And don't put, I'm sorry, yachol, right, now it sounds better. Yachol lo yiten alah lavona v'im nasan pasal. Now I might have thought the same thing is true regarding lavona, meaning that if I place lavona on the mincha, I disqualify the mincha. Tamalom ki chatas. No, it is a chatas, meaning that it continues to be a chatas even after you put lavona on top of it. So yachol ap shemen. Okay, so let's go back to shemen. So let's say the same thing by shemen. No, tamalom he. So the pasuk says he is a limitation. He means that at certain points in time, it no longer becomes a chatas. This is a chatas, and something else is not a chatas. Once I put oil in, it's no longer a chatas, a minchas chote. So the Gemara says, "Umar ra'isa lefsol b'shemen lahachshe b'lavona." it seems arbitrary that oil disqualifies and lavona is not a disqualification. So the Gemara says it's not arbitrary. The Gemara says exactly what I explained back in the Mishnah, and this is the point we got to yesterday on Shabbos. So the Gemara says no, the oil efshar, it's impossible. Once the oil goes in, that's it. But by lavona, I sprinkle lavona on top, I could get the lavona out. Okay, good. By Rabba by Ravuna Mirav Yochanan, Nasan ala lavona shechuka mahu. Okay, what if I take really, really powdered lavona, right? Frankincense that was ground up and ground up really, really well.
Like baby powder.
Yeah, it's like baby powder, like what's that sugar?
Granulated.
Right, granulated sugar.
Convection.
Right. That's a good one. So what if so you really, really fine powder of lavona, and I sprinkle it on top to the point where I'm stuck. So in other words, it's lavona. On the other hand, I can't get it out. So mishum de efshal lakta v'halo efshal lakta. So in other words, is the principal reason why putting lavona on a minchas chote, not disqualifying the mincha, is the reason why is because simply it's lavona. Or no, is it because lavona can be taken out, can be scraped out? Whereby which, in a situation where lavona cannot be scraped out, the mincha would be disqualified. So the Gemara asked, this is exactly the question asked from Rabbi Yochanan. So is it ma'o, mishum de'efshar l'lakta, v'halo efshar l'lakta? Here, if I can't be malakit, if I can't get it out of the mincha, so therefore it disqualifies the mincha, or simply because it's not bolea, it doesn't absorb, it's not oil, it's not a liquid, it doesn't go in and absorb in, so this also doesn't absorb. Meaning, we're going to have a tough time, almost impossible time getting it out, but the fact that it doesn't absorb into the mincha is enough so that it doesn't disqualify it. Okay? So the question is a pretty straightforward question. I'm not sure if I'm doing a good job explaining it, but the question is, when we say lavona is not a poso, right? Frankincense does not disqualify minchas chote, is that a functional issue or is that a halachic issue? Is it because we can get it out, therefore it doesn't poso, or no? Halachically, lavona doesn't poso. Okay, maybe that's a better way to say it. Okay, Tashma. The Gemara says, let's see if we could resolve it from quoting Mishnayos and Brisos, and you know the general drill. Ulavona Tashma. Ulavona Yokatena. So it says, Lavona, what do you do if Lavona falls in? Scrape it out. Oh, okay, fine. Sounds like from a simple reading of the Mishnah, right? Not such a complicated proof. Sounds like a simple reading of the Mishnah, the whole reason why Lavona does not disqualify is I can scrape it out. No. Which means then, brings us to the next point. If I can't scrape it out, so then it disqualifies. So the Gemara says, maybe that's not the way to read it. Dilma, chada v'od kamar. Chada d'lo mevla, meaning, let's start off with the first point. It's not bolea. It doesn't get absorbed in, and that's why it's not a poso. V'od yokatenu, and if possible, you could scrape it out. But scraping it out is not the prerequisite to make the mincha okay. Meaning, scraping it out is, I should just scrape it out anyway. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, look at the following. Machshani b'lavona she'efshar l'lakta. Again, the Brisa says very clearly, why am I machshir lavona? Because I could scrape it out. Again, the simple reading of the Brisa is, it's because I could scrape it out, which is the reason why I'm not going to disqualify the mincha. If I can't scrape it out, sounds like there's a problem. Hachana micha devod kamar. Again, the Gemara says, the way to read the Brisa is chadava od kamar, meaning we'll first make the first point, it's not bolea, and then we'll move on to the second point, which is if you can scrape it out, then you should. But scraping it out is not necessary. So, again, the Gemara is defensive, and in the defensive position of the Gemara, we don't know. We haven't yet resolved whether or not, if I have really fine ground lavona, whether or not that is a that'll passel my minchas chote, my havi'ala. So the Gemara says, okay. So bottom line, right? The Gemara sometimes also likes that question. My havi'ala is always the Gemara's code of, okay, discussion was good, but now let's move on. My havi'ala, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tanya minchas chote minchas kana shenasan al lavona melaket es lavona ukshera. You scrape out the lavona and then it's kasher. And if that's not clear enough, now, if let's say before you scrape out the lavona, meaning Lavona now is sitting on top of my Minchas Chote. Okay? And it shouldn't, nobody should have put it there to begin with. It's a Minchas Chote. Shouldn't have Lavona in the first place. But now it's sitting on top of the Lavona. While sitting on, I'm sorry, sitting on top of the Mincha. Okay? While sitting on top of the Mincha, someone then has a machshava. Not somebody, but the person doing the avoda has a machshava. And he thinks about either chusim zman or he thinks about chusim komo. Pasul ve'im bo kavitz. It's not pigel. Now listen carefully. It's not pigel. Why isn't it pigel? Meaning the person's doing the avoda. And while doing the avoda, he has a machshava. It isn't pigel. You know why?
It's not suitable.
Because while the lavona is on top of it, it's not acceptable. It's not suitable. And so while the Lavona is sitting on top of it, it's puzzle. So you see, the Brisa, you know, the first part of the Brisa was enough, but now the second part of the Brisa, it says it even clearer that there, it's impervious to the machshava of chutzis man or chutzim kamo, simply because while Lavona is on, it's no good. It's only when the Lavona is removed, then and only then is the mincha good, and then it's subject to the rules of pigel and machshava. The im shalikeit, the brisa goes on. And after you do lakita, after you remove the lavona, mechashav alav chutzim kamo pasav ein bekaretz. Chutzis mano, pigel vechayavan alav kares. Perfect. So the brisa says that that once the lavona is removed, now we can have a pigel discussion because now it's acceptable. So from the brisa, it certainly seems very clear that the whole nature of lavona, the reason why lavona is not the end of a minchas chote, is because I could scrape it out. But it's also very clear from the brisa that until that point in time, until I scrape it out, it will be puzzle. So if I have, let's go back to our question that was asked from Rav Yochanan. If I have granulated lavona where I can't scrape it out because the particles are too fine, excuse me, so it's not going to be good. Meaning it would then puzzle, would then disqualify the mincha. The
and he doesn't suffer any penalty.
The person who did it,
yeah.
It's a lav, it's a negative prohibition. Interesting. It's a lav, but had it been regular lavona, you could have just fixed it. It was correctable. I don't know if I have to overthink it. It's a lav. It's a negative prohibition. And so, you know, be subject to the regular punishments for a lav.
Okay. What are the regular punishments?
Malchus.
So every time you do a lav.
Every lav in the Torah, with exception, of course.
Yeah.
Every lav in the Torah has malchus. So this is a classic lav. The Torah says lo yasim ala lavona. Right. So you violate a lav, so you're going to get malchus. And over here, meaning, I guess you're right. This is the part which I was trying to think through in my head. Meaning, let's go to the regular case of Lavona, right, where it's not finely ground Lavona. It's, you know, the big particles where I could scrape off. So let's say I put Lavona on top. So I violate a lav, but it's fixable, right? In the world of in the Gemara world, so this is what we would call that's what I'm trying to figure out. It's a lav hanitak lase, right? It's, in other words, it's a lav, but I can fix it. Like when I steal, for example, I'm not going to get malchus for stealing because I can heishiv as exela. I can return the object which I stole. So the Torah gives me a remedy in terms of that, how to fix the lav, so therefore I don't get malchus. Here, I'm thinking out loud, right? I'm inviting you to my thought process. So over here, is this a lav hanitak la'aseh? I mean, the Torah never says...
It sounds like it is. Good.
Yeah, but when the Torah says steal, you give it back, the Torah actually says, v'heishiv as exela. Or by Noser, another classic example. If you leave over Noser, which you're not allowed to do, but if you leave it over, Ba'ish Tisrofu, you burn in fire. Here the Torah never says, if you put Lavona on, now you got to take it off.
It's not Nita.
It's right. The Torah is not giving you those instructions. So I don't know if this qualifies. Okay, I'm just thinking it through. I don't know if this qualifies as a Lavani Taklase. Okay? Back to the Gemara. So in the Brisa, what did we just discover? That when Lavona is on top of the of this Minchas Chote, it's possible. It's right now disqualified, albeit temporarily. We're going to get on to the discussion of Dichui in just a moment. So it's disqualified, and so if I have a Machshava during that period of time, that Machshava is inconsequential. And then, not totally inconsequential, but it's not pigle, right? Let's say it like that. And then when I remove the lavona, we're good. We're good to go. And when we say good to go, it means that if I have a makshava after I remove the lavona, so then we are... So then we are going to have a pigle discussion. So the Gemara says, okay, let's move on now to the dichui part of today's discussion. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If you would have poured oil on it, so you know you would have disqualified it permanently. So over here, when you put Lavona on it, aren't you disqualifying it? And you're going to say to me, yeah, but I can remove the Lavona. Yeah, but it experienced a time of disqualification. And this gets us to the classic discussion that the Gemara has a number of times. It's not the first time we're experiencing this Dichui discussion. It's classic. Basically, the Gemara is going to ask, what about Dichui? So to this question of what about Dichui, the Gemara is going to give its classic answers. Amar Abaye, Chatas Kaya Rachmana. So Abaye says, no. The fact that the Torah calls it a chatas, remember we darshaned at the top of the Samud, it is a chatas. Even with Lavon on top of it, it is a chatas. It remains a chatas, meaning there's not going to be nitzcha. Rava says, no. Rava's not buying into the drasha so much. Hamani Chanana Mitzrihi, Delais Bei Dichuyin. We could say that the author of this Braisa, who says, don't worry about Dichuy, that's Chanan HaMitzri, Chanan the Egyptian. Okay, he doesn't come up that often in Shas, right? He gets, but we've seen him. End of Ksuvas also, he's very popular. So Chanan Amitri, who delays late dichuin detanya, we learned in the brisa. Chanan Amitri, Omer Afilo Dam Bekos, maybe Chaver Shalav Hagrala Umizaveg Lo. Two cups that you need on. Sorry, not two cups. Two goats that you need on Yom Kippur, right? The Seir La Hashem and Seir La Zazel. Okay, they need to be paired up. And then what happens is that we do the hagrala, we do a lottery. The lottery will tell us which one is going to go to and be offered as a chatas and blood sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and which one is going to be sent off the cliff. Now they're a tandem, right? And if I lose one, generally the position is we got to start all over again, fresh new pair of goats, etc., etc. So Chanana Mitzri is of the position, it's not accepted, it's not the accepted position, but he's of the position that Afilu Dam Bekos, meaning Yeshechted the Chatas, and it was in the and the blood was in the cup already. And you lose your other goat, meaning not off the cliff, which is what you were supposed to do. But you lost it or it died or something happened to it, you could just simply bring another goat. And it's fine. And this cup is fine. Even though the blood of this cup belonged to a animal, even though this animal was not paired with the other animal, Chanana Mitzri says it's fine. Why? Because Chanana Mitzri just does not subscribe to the whole concept of dichui. Does not. So therefore, our brisa over here that says the lavona was sprinkled on it, once you remove the lavona, it's fine, it's all good, because that brisa subscribes to the view of Chanana Mitzri.
Isn't there a concept like a zika between the groups?
Yeah, I mean, generally that's our position. Chanana Mitzri doesn't subscribe to it. Okay, and it is a little bit strange. I mean, we're going to take a brisa and relegate it to a position which is not really an accepted position. Okay. Rav Ashi gives us another fundamental answer.
Well, that's for the brisa, not for the Mishnah?
I assume. Meaning the issue is really with the brisa. Because the brisa was talking about what happens after I remove it. No, Aaron, your point is well taken, though. Because in the Mishnah says you could just remove the lavona and go back to work. You're right. I was focusing more on the brisa because the brisa talks about having machshava after you remove the lavona. But you're right. It could work with the Mishnah as well. Rav Ashi Amar Kol Shebi'ad Lo Havid Dichui. Rav Ashi gives us an answer. This is standard answer given by Rav Ashi, and that's Kol Shebi'ad. The concept of as long as you can fix it, it's not subject to dichui. As long as you still have control over it, meaning Lavona was sprinkled on top of it. Okay, but you have the ability, it's in your power to remove the Lavona. Once something is in your power, that's not considered dichui. Dichui means a disqualification that is beyond your control. Something where it went awry and it came back and you had no control over it. Okay, that's dichui. But over here, since everything's within your power, and you could just simply scrape off the lavona, it's biyado, and therefore it's not subject to dichui. Amar Rav Ada Kavasi, the Rav Ashi Mistabra. I'm really liking this answer of Rav Ashi, Daman Sham Ledis Le Dichuim Rabbi Hudihi, because look, I really like this answer of Rav Ashi, this concept of Shibiyado, that as long as you have control over it, it's not considered Dichui. Look, consider the following. We have the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda subscribes to the concept of Dichui, clearly. How clear is it? Well, let's see. Ditnan ve'odam Rav Yehuda nishbach adam yamos ha-mishtaleach. Mes ha-mishtaleach yishafech hadam. Okay, so a Mishnah tells us, according to Rav Yehuda, you lose one of your goats on Yom Kippur, you get rid of the other goat. Done. Meaning, you don't just simply bring in its replacement, but you got to bring in a new pair of goats, then you got to start all over again. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda clearly subscribes to the principle of Dichui. Okay. Now, After we've established that Rav Yehuda subscribes to the rules of Dichui, V'ila Hecha de Biyado, now, once you have Biyado come into play, so then Rav Yehuda says it's okay. Now, where do we see this, but not just see this, but specifically Rav Yehuda feel this way? From the following, it's a Mishnah. It says the word Tanya over here. It's a Mishnah. At least I think it's a Mishnah. I know. I'd like to be stubborn and say it's a Mishnah. I think it's the fifth parak of... Okay, anyway, I'll fight with myself later. Tanya, Rav Yehuda, Omer Kosa Yamamale Midamat HaRovs V'Zarkuz Rika Achas Keneged HaYisod. Okay. Dr. Zagi, one of his favorite scenes in the Beis HaMikdash is Erev Pesach, where we've pretty much worked it out that 1.2 million karbanos were brought on that afternoon. I know it seems like a lot. It doesn't seem. It is a lot. Okay, Beis HaMikdash can handle those numbers. Okay. Even though rationally speaking, it's kind of hard to imagine. But there's a lot of blood, and the Mishnah describes how the Kohanim on Erev Pesach, but due to the fact that there was so much karbana shecht and so much blood, they were up to either their ankles or their knees in blood. With the volume, you know, with high volume, you know, there's always subject to a mistake, right? That's the problem always working with high volume. So with the volume, so you're not 100% sure that every karban that was shechted had its blood actually make it to the Mizbeach. In fact, if you remember your Mishnayos and Psachim, Mishnayos described beautifully how there were lines of Kohanim, two lines of Kohanim that formed, and they basically made a fireman's ladder, where, you know, instead of buckets and water, but they had blood actually being passed from one Kohen to another, and the bloods were passed from one Kohen to another until they get to the last Kohen where he stood right by the Mizbeach, he spritzed, and then he passed the cup back, and they actually, each one of the Kohanim made a double exchange, a full cup and an empty cup. Okay.
And they were shuffling their feet.
And they were shuffling their feet. Okay, I don't...
Because if they didn't move their feet, they weren't doing Aliha.
Oh, there was a halacha issue. Oh, okay, fine. Okay, yeah, I hear that. So Rav Yehuda's general concern, it was a large concern. I'm not 100% sure that every one of those bloods actually made it to the Mizbeach. So Rav Yehuda had an insurance policy. And his insurance policy went like this. At the end of the afternoon, before the sun set, he went onto the floor, he took a cupful of blood from the floor, and he sprinkled it onto the Mizbeach. Okay.
That was
now right now. Now right now. Now already, Aaron, that was very good. Meaning, right, this is the same Rabbi Yehuda who says that there's no bittul by bin mimino. Meaning that if you can have just one, right?
That's why blood here.
Yeah, you just have one spot of blood from any one of the animals. So again, it's just an insurance policy. Meaning, the probability is that every blood, you know, your blood made it to the Mizbeach. But as an insurance policy, this is what he did. Now, the Gemara points out that, right, Memalei Medamat HaRovs V'Zarkus Richa Achas Keneged Yisod. How is Rav Yehuda saying that? Meaning, what about Dichui? What about the fact that it was pushed off? Meaning, the whole reason why you're doing this is for the chance, for the possibility that one of the bloods actually fell to the floor. Didn't it experience Dichui? And the Gemara is going to answer, no. because we're going to use the Rav Ashi principle of once it's biyado, once you're in control, so then there's no problem of dichui. So meaning the blood fell to the ground, but it was biyado. You have every right to just pick it up, collect it, and bring it to the Mizbeach.
So did he do this to be a shaliach for Klal
Yisrael? It was an insurance policy just in the event.
But not for he himself.
No. He did it for the Jewish people.
Ah.
Okay. Baruch Adonai Melech Olam Shekol Mei Baruch.
Okay. That much blood on the floor. How could they actually even do shechita? Because as soon as they put the animal on the floor, the blood would be all over the place.
Yeah, but blood, as long as it's in this liquid state, does not serve as a chatzitza. Does not serve as a separation.
And Rabbi Yehuda is the most machmir on dichoy.
On dichoy, I don't know if he's the most machmir, but in the Yom Kippur scenario, which the Gemara tells us, you got to get a new pair. So
he subscribes,
right? He subscribes to dichoy.
And by him, Rav Ashi says.
And so once you have the Rav Ashi principle, viado, so then, in other words, you could have formulated it as a question. I don't understand. Rav Yehuda, you hold of dichoy. And meanwhile, what are you doing? You're just picking up the blood off the floor? Didn't experience dichoy? And now we're going to use the Rav Ashi principle of no, it's biyado. Once it's biyado, once you have control over the matter, then we don't say dichoy. Okay, that ends that discussion. We move on to the Gemara. Last little bit of Gemara before we start with the next sugya of the day. We have not spoken in terms of shiurim, right? And I know you people have been missing that, right? How much oil do I need in order to violate the law? How much frankincense do I need in order to violate the law? Right? We got to have the very technical discussion of shiurim. Okay. Let me get to the psukim. Sorry. Okay. Here we go. Perikay pasuk yiralf yud beis. This is a chote. This is a sinner. Vimlo sasig yado shtei sar moshne b'nai yone. He can't afford the birds, right? The sinner starts off with one animal. He says, "I can't afford that." So then we go drop him down to, "Okay, can you afford two birds?" And he says, "No, not even that." So vimlo sasig yado shtei sar moshne b'nai yone. Vavis karbeno sher chatas yirisayifa sol sakata. So he brings in a mincha. The mincha is cheap. Mincha is just flour, ground of flour, one isaron. And here, lo yasim aleha shemen, velo yitain aleha lavona, you're not allowed to put on it oil, and you're not allowed to place upon it lavona, ki chatasi, because it's a chatas. Okay. We're now going to have a discussion, it's going to be a quick discussion about shiurim, about how much. If you note the psukim carefully, and look at the words carefully, it's lo yasim aleha shemen, don't place shemen on it, right? Shemen is used, the verb that's used is placement. And lo yitain aleha lavona, and I'm going to use the same English word, but it's not the same word. And don't place lavona on top of it, it's nitina. Okay? So, is there a difference between those two words in terms of shiurim? So the Gemara is about to argue, yes it is. Amar of Yitzchak, by Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan. We're four or five lines from the bottom of the Amud on the Testament base. Anasan mashu shemen agabe kezayis mincha pasal. Any amount of oil that you place on a kezayis of mincha is enough to disqualify. Okay. Wow, how do you get that? My taima lo yasim sima kol du alaha. Adi ika shiur. I'm sorry. Sima kol duhu. Aleha ad ika shiura. Okay, the word sima, right, means placement. Nesima just means that all I need to do, it's the act of placing. How much? So, quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, any amount. Because the Torah doesn't say an amount, the Torah just simply says placing oil. So once, the only thing the Torah cares about is placing, so it could be any amount, it could be even a mashu. How much mincha does it need to hit? It needs to hit a kezayis. Why? Because there the Torah says, aleha on it. On something which is legally recognized as it. What is legally recognized? A kezayis. Okay. V'amar av Yitzchak bar Yosef, amar av Yochanan, Nasan kezayis lavona agabe mashu mincha pasal. Now, let's go on to the next issur in the Torah. The next issur in the Torah is you're not allowed to put lavona. Here, Rabbi Yochanan inverts. You need to put a kezayis of lavona on any amount of mincha in order to disqualify it. My taima lo yitein ksiv ad diika nesina. Nesina is different. Nesina, even though in English I don't know how else to translate it, I'm going to say placement. But the word nesina is an amount, meaning matana is a gift, right? And meaning it has to be something substantial. It's not just the act of placing, but it is actually how much is being placed. So how much is legally recognized? The answer is a kezayis. All right, on how much? So a mashu on any amount. Now that doesn't sound right. Everything hopefully I said so far should resonate as, that makes somewhat sense. Right? A sima is any amount because it's just the act of placing. A nesina means you need an amount because nesina means that it has to be in a significant amount like the word matana. But the first time in the Isser of Shemin, I said Alaha was a kezayis because that's what Rav Yochanan said. The second time around, Alaha means any amount. That's inconsistent. So the Gemara goes on to explain that point. Adi itka nesina aleha. So now at top of Samach Hamad Aleph, how can aleha on the second round mean any amount? If in the first round by Shemin aleha meant a kezayis, so then in the second round, in the second Isser, aleha should also mean a kezayis. So the Gemara says, "Have a ribui acharibu vein ribui acharibui ela lema'it," because we have a rule of darshanim where if I have a ribui followed immediately by another ribui, it's eno ela lema'it. It comes to minimize. It comes to reduce. Right? Example I give constantly. It's like multiplying two negatives. You end up with a positive. So in the world of darshanut, I'm not saying I fully understand it, but it doesn't matter. Right? In the world of darshanut. So if I have a ribui followed by another ribui, it produces the opposite effect. It comes to minimize. So when the Torah says aleha the second time around, meaning if I put lavona on it, so on it, the Torah already said the word aleha. This is now a second aleha. It's a ribui achar ribui, and the whole purpose of a ribui achar ribui means a miut. So that means that when it comes to lavona, if I put it on any amount, I'm going to be violating the law of lo sasim aleha. Lavona. Not sasim. Lo nasan ala lavona. Okay. The Ikadarmi, now the Gemara gives us a slightly different version of this quote. I'm Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef by Rav Yochanan nasa mashu shem na gabi kezayis mincha mao mi bein en sima kenesina o lo. In the second version, the Rav Yochanan actually is grappling with, is nesina and sima, are they basically the same? Is it the same shiur? He does, in this second version reported to us, Teku, he simply does not know if they are the same or if they are different. In the first version, in the first Igad Amre, he's very clear that they're different. Nesina is a shear, it's a kezayis. Sima is just a placement, any amount. In the second version, he leaves it unresolved. Tana Rabbanan. Am nasan shemen al shiareha. Tana Rabbanan lo yisim ala shemen lo yitain. Now, Yachol. I might have thought, meaning, I'm reading the pasuk now, let's say for the first time. Okay? The Torah says, Lo yasim ala shemen v'lo yitain ala lavona. You could have said, right, this is the yachol, you could have understood that in order to successfully violate the Isser, you need to do both. Right? It's not that crazy. It's a pretty reasonable reading of the Torah. The Torah says, Lo yasim ala shemen v'lo yitain ala lavona. Don't do this and don't do that. Which means, and it's in the same pasuk. So you could have read it that the only way you're going to get an Isser is by doing both. Lo yasim ala shemo lo yitain ala vav shnei kohanim tam lomar ala begufa shal mincha kasa medaber. It's not talking about the kohen, it's talking about the mincha. Meaning, it's relative from the mincha's perspective. It's from the mincha's perspective, don't do either. Don't do one or don't do the other. What about kli agabe kli? I told you another reading which you could make in the Chumash, which the Brisa here is entertaining as a havamina, is don't put a jug of oil on top of a minchas chote, meaning not pouring oil over the chote, but placing a jug of oil over the chote. And again, You could read it. Lo yasim ala shemen. Don't put oil on it. Meaning, even if the oil's in a jug. So tamalomer aleha begufa shemencha kasa medaber. No, because the Torah says aleha on it. The oil has to actually make physical contact with the mincha. If it does, you've disqualified it. If it doesn't, it doesn't disqualify it. Okay. Period. And end of the oil and lavona discussion. Okay. Next. Mishnayos now are going to go on to describe and discuss other requirements by a mincha. There are two things that we talk about in the world of menachos. That's tenufa and hagasha. Okay, tenufa. Tenufa is a waving requirement. Sometimes the Torah straight out says that you have to do the waving requirement. Now the Torah does not give us very specific instructions in terms of how to do tenufa. It's like shaking a lulav. Right, mala, morid, mevi, molech, mevi, up, down, right, front, back. You want to turn around. Some people don't turn around. Some people just fling the lulav over their shoulder.
That's the cooler way.
That's cooler and more dangerous. Usually the two go hand in hand.
That's why we wear glasses.
Right. Okay, that's tenufa. And the other... And the other thing that we talk about is hagasha. Now, the mitzvah of hagasha is not that complicated. It's taking the mincha while it's in the bowl and bringing it to the mizbeach and making physical contact between the bowl that the mincha is contained and the mizbeach. Okay, there's these two requirements of teuna and hagasha. Yesh teunas. We start the Mishnah. Samech Amud Aleph. Yesh teunas hagasha vein teunas tenufa. Some menachos require hagasha but do not require tenufa. Hagasha utenufa. Tenufa velo hagasha. Some require both, and some require neither. Lo tenufa velo hagasha. Okay, hagasha v'tenufa, tenufa velo hagasha, lo tenufa velo hagasha. Right? Okay, fine. Four different permutations. Right? Two variables, four permutations. Ve'elo teunos hagasha, ve'ein teunos tenufa. Okay, so now we're going to go over our list of menachos that have a requirement of hagasha, but have no requirement of tenufa. And it's a long list. And count it, because I think we'll do the same thing that we did previously, and that is we'll get to the number 10. Right? That's what happened two Mishnayos ago. We got to the number 10. I think the same thing will happen over here. Okay? List of menachos that have the requirement of hagasha, but not the requirement of tenufa. Mincha sasola, fine flour. Machavas, thin pan. Marcheshes, deep dish. Chalos are the oven-baked menachos. Rikikin, wafers. Minchas kohanim, the mincha offered by a kohen, which is totally burnt on the mizbech. Minchas kohen mashiach, the mincha of the kohen gadol, which we also call the minchas chavitin. Minchas nachrim, the mincha offered by a non-Jew. Minchas nashim, mincha offered by a woman. Minchas chote, mincha offered by a sinner. Okay, I counted. It was 10.
So they flipped Omer and Chote,
and from the previous Mishnah. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, before we go on to the next category, so far these are the 10, which by the way represents the majority of menachos. Right, there are not that many more to go over, but these are the 10 that have a hagasha requirement, but no tenufa requirement. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Kohen, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, in behem hagasha. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He's going to take two out of the list. He's only going to have 8. Why? Because Minchas Kohen and Minchas Kohen Mashiach, the ones that are totally burnt on the Mizbeach, do not require hagasha. Why? Lefishein behem kemitza. Because Rabbi Shimon's of the belief that there's a correlation between the mitzvah of kemitza and the mitzvah of hagasha. Positive correlation. If there's a mitzvah of kemitza, then there's a mitzvah of hagasha. If there's no mitzvah of kemitza, there's no mitzvah of hagasha. Now, by your minchas kohen, your minchas kohen mashiach, there's no kemitza. It is totally burnt on the mizbeach. You take the entire mincha and ceremoniously, I was going to say dump, but it's a mitzvah, so let me use a better word, place it on the mizbeach, burn it on the mizbeach. V'chol she'ein b'hem kemitza, ein b'hem hagasha, and so therefore, if there's no kemitza, there's no hagasha. Where does he derive the correlation from? So the Gemara is going to talk about that. Obviously, the Tanakhama does not agree with his correlation, so much to talk about in terms of that regard. Amar Rav Papa, kol hecha denan, eser tenan. Okay, the statement of Rav Papa, right, get used to it, because we're going to see it a bunch of times. We saw it already yesterday's daf. We're seeing it in today's daf. It's going to come up a little bit later on as well. Every time we have in the Mishnah, Eser Tanan, you should understand that it's 10. Again, I go back to Rashi that we saw yesterday. One of two ways to understand Rav Papa. It could mean either A, 10 loaves, right? Every one of these menachos, how many loaves are brought from these menachos, 10 loaves? Or the second pshat, did Rashi have a preference? I don't think so. I think Rashi just simply presented both without... Sometimes when Rashi gives two pshatim, he tells you which one he likes better. he rates his pshatim. Here, I don't think he does it. Another pshat that Rashi says is, in our Mishnah, the list is 10, and specifically 10, meaning our Mishnah is to be understood accurately as only 10 categories. So my kamash malan, now let's go with the second pshat in Rashi. So my kamash malan, lafukim in the Rabbi Shimon, meaning according to Rabbi Shimon, there are not 10 categories in the Mishnah, there would actually be 11 categories in the Mishnah. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, if a person says, I want to bring a mafatan, or I want to bring an oven-baked mincha, Rabbi Shimon says you can go in one of three directions. It could all be chalos, it could all be rekikin, or it could be combo. Five chalos, five rekikin. So according to Rabbi Shimon, that gives you a mafatan or mincha, gives you three options, and if that would be the case, we would, in our Mishnah, have an 11th category. So the point that Rav Papa is making is, our Mishnah does not subscribe to the Rabbi Shimon view. Our Mishnah subscribes to the view that Mafet Tanur only has two categories. It's either going to be all Chalos or all Rikikim. That's our Mishnah's viewpoint. Okay. Minahani Mili. Alright, now we go over the basics. How do I know this? Meaning the Gemara now is seeking a source for what's the psukim, what's the drashas that lead us to the conclusion that all the menachos that we discussed in our Mishnah, 10 menachos in total, have a requirement of hagash and no requirement of tenufa. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in the Brayse that ilu namar ve'eves asher yaseh me'ela la'ashem ve'ikriva el ha'koin ve'gisha ha'isa omer enli tu nagasha el ha'komets bilvad. Okay, Perek Beis. Okay. The Imin Chas Marcheshes Karbanecha. Perek Beis is the main perek in Torah that talks about the Mincha. Perek Beis, Perek Hay, and yesterday's Parsha. Right? Perek Chaf Dalad. Let's say Chaf Dalad.
There would be Marcheshes for what?
Marcheshes is a deep dish. Marcheshes is voluntary. It's a voluntary.
For what reason?
For what reason?
Yeah.
He's interested in bringing Marcheshes. Meaning, right? I don't know the significance. I don't know the fine detail. Meaning, there's subtle differences between the different menachos. When they brought it, I'm sure they had a much better understanding of what the fine the differences are, and why someone would bring a marcheshes over a machlas.
That by itself, not necessarily with an animal or.
No. This is just its own independent mincha, right? In the world of menachos, there are different types of menachos. One of the types is a marcheshes. One of them is a machlas. And why one person would bring? Maybe it's just an issue of taste. He likes the deep dish over the thin.
It might have had to do with income too.
Right, and mind you, by the way, I offer that as a pshat. That's a terrible pshat. The what I just said, because he's not eating it. It's a kohen who's eating it. So he's. Let's go back to what I said earlier. If we were able to bring menachos, we would understand the fine differences between them and understand why someone would be moved to bring a marcheshes over a machvas. Okay, so im minchas marcheshes karbanecha solus b'shem and teaseh. So you want to bring your marcheshes. So you bring fine flour. Veheivesa es hamincha asher yaseh me'ela laHashem. V'ikrivah halakohen v'higisha el hamizbeach. Okay, here by the marcheshes, the Torah says it straight out that there's this mitzvah of hagasha, of presentation. I have to bring the mincha and bring it to the mizbech. And again, I told you, the mitzvah is very simple. It's just simply having the bowl touch the mizbech. That's it. That's the mitzvah of hagasha.
Is that considered an avoda? Is that one of the?
It's one of the avodas. Correct. Mitzvah. Correct. It's right.
Kmitzas are that too.
No? I do kmitzas as well. So if I read the pasuk and I read it carefully, the Bryce was about to point out, I might walk away thinking that this mitzvah of hagasha is for the kmitza. Uh-huh. Okay, I'll read it again. right? Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin Pasuk Ches. Veheivesa esa mincha asher yasa me'ela la'Hashem v'ikriva la'kohen v'gish al mizbeach asher ye asa me'ela la'Hashem. The part that goes to God, meaning the comments. So the Gemara says that's not correct. Meaning that's not the correct conclusion. And the Gemara is going to explain to us how we know that. I would have said, it's only the comments that requires agasha. Mincha minayin tamalomar mincha. Okay, but when you read on in the pasuk says behevesa es hamincha asher yaseh me'ilal Hashem. The mincha in its entirety, not just the comments, but the mincha in its entirety requires a hagasha. Minchas chote minayin. Okay, how about minchas chote? The sinner's mincha, which is not in Perek Beis. That's ahead. That's in Perek He. So tamalomar mincha. I'm sorry, tamalomar es hamincha. Okay, so we have the word es hamincha, the mincha. We've said this many times. The S is always a ribui. It always comes to include something. So here in this context, it comes to include minchas chote, the mincha of the sinner. Okay. Vidinhu. Nemar hacha. Nemar hacha mincha chova v'nemar hacha minchas nedava. Ma minchas nedava tuna hagasha. Af minchas chova tuna hagasha. So the Gemara says, and you have psukim that support this as well, because in both places it said the words mincha. So the Gemara says, "Mala mincha sedava shekain tuna Hashem and lavona." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but if it's just in terms of setting a precedent, if it's up to din over here means precedent setting, it's not going to be good enough." Because look, there are fundamental differences between these types of menachos. Minchas nedava, the voluntary menachos that are discussed in Perek Beis, that has oil and frankincense. Minchas chote, that's discussed in Perek Hay, no oil, no frankincense. So how can I learn one from the other? Minchas sota tochiach. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, but let's go to the sota. Sota's mincha, right? Does mincha sota shekein to una tenufa? So the Gemara says, the sota's mincha has a tenufa requirement. And these don't. Minchas nedava tochiach. So the Gemara says, let's go back to the voluntary offering. So, So we're trying to derive, how do I know that the minchas chote, the sinner's mincha, has this hagasha requirement? So we're going to attack it using two areas of halacha. One being the nedava, the voluntary one, Perek Beis, and one being the sota. Now, Lori Zekarizev, they're not the same, and there are different spots, but there is a common denominator, which is they both have kamitza requirement and they both have agasha. So I'll look at the common denominator and I'll say, okay, same thing is true with the minchas chote. So they both have kamitza. Sorry, it has kamitza, therefore it has a hagasha. Even when I take out the common denominator, it's still not the same, because in your sota mincha, in your nedava mincha, it's a standardized mincha. There is no fluctuation of the mincha. It's standardized. But when it comes to the mincha of the chote, the sinner, there is fluctuation. It depends on your economic level. So I can't compare. It's a different mincha. It's a different type of mincha. So tamalomer esa mincha. So now that we try to use din, we try to say establish precedent in binyanav and binyanav mishnei k'suvim and all your wonderful rules of the yud gimel midosh atar nedreshes by him, and we have not successfully done so. So that leaves us just at the place of esa mincha. We have a drasha, and the drasha gets us to the point where it's the ribui that brings it in, the minchas chote for the mitzvah of hagasha. Okay, we'll pause over here. We are in the middle of the brisa. It's a long brisa, right? Sit tight. We got more to go. The Mishnah introduces us to the requirements of tenufa and hagasha. 10 menachos that require agasha do not require tanufa. We know by the nidava, by the voluntary offerings, the Torah says straight out that you have to be megish, you have to present them to the mizbeach. The Torah does not say it by minchas chote. The goal of the Braisa was to get minchas chote into the list. We tried using din. The Gemara ends up using a drasha. Okay? In the beginning of today's daf, we finished up our discussion about the isser of oil and lavona on your minchas chote. And we talked a little bit about the idea of dichui and biyado, the power of biyado. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up. Everyone have a good week.